were dependent on thee. Lord, for his needed help, I would direct you to the epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As with every promise of Scripture, it has to be that promise will suit the soul. Isn't that we alter the words to suit the sinner, but the sinner must be brought to be in the place where the word of God is to be appropriated. We read in the afternoon of the apostle Paul and Silas going to Philippi, how the Lord closed other doors and opened up the way that he should be found at the riverside where prayer is wont to be made. There's a sweet word really to those praying souls. Sometimes, you know, you can have a view of prayer as the communication between a living soul and God in and through the person of his Son, Jesus. But I've often said, and it is true, you know, when you are in need, whether it's spiritual or temporal, and we are brought to the throne of grace, it's my view, and it is my experience, that, you know, when one prays according to the Spirit, you really are inquiring to know the will of God. If you look at the apostle's experience of his thorn in the flesh, his prayer was that the Lord would remove it, but it wasn't the Lord's will. When you pray, do you seek to know what the will of the Lord is? When you pray, is it because you have this need and therefore do you have that hope that the Lord will indeed supply that need and take the burden from you? Or do you have to come with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's sometimes said, and I hope it's realised what it said, In this epistle, there's a word in the second chapter that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now you go as you are led to Gethsemane's garden, and the Lord show you by precious faith the Saviour as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. One can't conceive or understand or put into words what a state the Lord of life and glory showed there. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It is a deep, dear friends, that we can't understand. But that's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have many benefits as a believer in Jesus have. A throne of grace. And the man that stands between in garments dyed in blood. We have many blessings in these things. But you say there was an inquiry, even from the Lord of life and glory. And there was the submission to the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes I feel, you know, there's much instruction that we tend or solemnly seem to overlook. But the grace and mercy of God is such, you know, that, as we, I believe, said and will say again, that the dear Lord instructs his people by his Spirit by putting them into need. What sort of religion would it be if there was no need? What sort of pathway would it be if there's nothing to complain about? No trial, no difficulty, no loss, no cross. What would be the state of your spiritual life? In the third chapter of the Revelation, we find the church of the Laodiceans, who were rich and in need of nothing. What sort of prayer meetings do they hold, this church of the Laodicean? What sort of worship? Dear friends, it reflects, you know, it isn't just the church of the Laodiceans. It reflects through the churches. It reflects through individuals. If there's no need, dear friends, there's no grace. That is the pathway. It's a needy pathway. It's one that is, that makes a believer in Jesus wholly dependent. Thy whole dependence on me fix. Or entertain a thought, my worthless, or thy worthless schemes with mine to mix, but venture to be naught. It's the most peculiar pathway in a sense. And what's peculiar about it, you would say? I tell you the honest truth. I'm thankful for being poor, because I need his help. I'm not rich and in need of nothing in spiritual things. It's a constant need. And where it is to be supplied is in this glorious person of Christ Jesus. But it's a most uncomfortable place to be. You know, there are certain things which, in certain walks of life, in your in occupation, you know, you can get accustomed, or you can work by experience, and you know what to do in times of trial or difficulty or something which crops up unexpectedly. But in the pathway of grace, it's a pathway of need from start to finish. And I bless God it is. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I must admit, I turned here and I turned there after tea to find something to read. And I looked at two psalms. One of them is the 12th psalm. And it has this word in it: for the oppression of the poor, now will I arise, saith the Lord, and will keep him in safety from him that puffeth at him. A word which I know full well by experience. But latterly I came to that word that I read in Samuel, because it's a very strange path, and I venture to explain it in this way. David and his men should never have been in Ziklag. They were in a path which wasn't right. He was fleeing from Saul, and yet he had God's divine anointment that he was to be Israel's king. If you read back, I believe it is a chapter or two back from the one we read, and you'll find this, that David said, one day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. This is not a word of questioning his faith. It's where we all stand at times when we give in to unbelief. But so he obtains this city, Ziklag, from the Philistines as a refuge from the assaults of Saul against him. The Lord took Ziklag away. You know, I wonder, may I say this? Anyone's walking in a path which they shouldn't be in, the Lord is not on your side. He'll reprove you, and he'll set you in order. Now, Ziklag was removed, but God didn't take himself away. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Still merciful and gracious, though as I believe he was not, or he should not have been where he was there in Ziklag. How many times can you trace that through the scriptures of truth? That the Lord is merciful to his people though they sin against him. Sometimes, you know, we sing hymns that we know so well that we don't realise the instruction. A hymn come to my mind then is 320. His purposes are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet shall be the flower. And I thought as I was brought to look at that hymn, my mind went to Naomi. Scriptures tell us about Naomi and her husband and her sons. And they went down to Moab because of famine in the land. And they removed from Bethlehem. Well, you know the account. She lost her husband and her sons. And she was left of her two daughters-in-law. One of them was in the covenant. That's why she went to Moab. One of them was in the line of Christ. I know we can all sit in judgments upon other people's pathways. But you know, there came a time when you could see the Lord's hand in that pathway. And another thing, she had to go down to Moab so that Ruth the Moabitess should be found in Bethlehem. His purposes are ripening fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet shall be the flower. No chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the fruits of righteousness. You see, the purposes of God are being done. As I said a moment ago, if you and I pray according to the Spirit, what we're doing is inquiring at the hand of God what it is, what his will is in a matter. David did so. He encouraged himself in the Lord. His manner changed. Oh, the affiliation or the union or the respect they might have had before then was gone. They thought of stoning him because of their distress. The Lord hadn't changed. And you know, there's something very remarkable too. You and I are sinners and we can't but sin because we're sinners. But his mercy, if we've known his mercy once, will continue with us. Though he'll chasten us and bring us into distress, he will never leave us. And when adversity is our lot, when opposition is our lot, I thought of that very simple illustration in that reading. Not only did he encourage himself in the Lord, but he sought to know the Lord's will. Very distinctly, very simply, but very surely. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Without fail, thou shalt recover all. What a merciful God as a believer in Jesus, God. What a merciful God doesn't give you and me a 1 inch to sin. But it shows us of the faithfulness of God, you know, in his dealings with us. I said this afternoon, if you read the account of the apostle writing to the Hebrews about the old covenant, the first covenant rather, and then the covenant of grace. And if we might use a word you understand, he compares the two. That one offering the Lord Jesus Christ made. The numerous sacrifices that were made, the one offering that he made, but his offering was a offering for sin and for the salvation of his church. Great mercy, you know, great mercy. How Satan would trouble you and distress you. How he would raise up arguments to, alter your mind, if possible, in these sacred truths. Yes, he died once, you see. That's what he would say. But he rose again. That's the blessing. He remains as he was, as he ever will be, the same. And though we and I sin and continually do so because that's our nature to sin, we sin because we're sinners. But oh, his mercy remains the same. The blood of beasts and of goats and of heifers could never take away sin. Oh, but the blood of Jesus does and has and will be known by coming sinners. It was an offering once, but it was a sure offering and a sufficient offering. If you look at the early chapters of the prophecy of Malachi, they offered what they could easily get rid of. Animals with complaints, with disease, and animals of no value. Wasn't a sacrifice. Wasn't a sacrifice at all. It was really a solemn state to be in, to give a sacrifice which wasn't a sacrifice. The word itself is sufficient to tell you, to tell me what it really means. It's a value of sacrifices. An animal that was crippled or poorly was no sacrifice. They'd well get rid of it some way or the other, so they used it as a sacrifice before God. Solemn thoughts, you know. Now we must continue with this word. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This word is the foundation stone upon which the Church of Christ experiences rest. In all their various pathways, conditions, experiences, whatever you call it, this stands as a supreme word and promise to the Church of Christ. When you read in Old Testament of the provisions that the dear Lord made for Israel, they must come out of Egypt. They used to enjoy Egypt at one time, you know. Egypt was a very comfortable place in the days of Joseph. But in course of time, of course, Egypt was made to be a place of discomfort, of trial, of slavery, of taskmasters. How about you and me? Egypt represents this world. When you and I in the world was comfortable one with the other. Very solemn thought, you know now. But it was so, wasn't it, in unregenerate days? That's all you was content with. And that's where you would have lived, and that's where you would have died. But for the sovereign mercy of God, where it is to be found, by the way. We can't apply such things everywhere and in all details. It applies to the spiritual Israel of God. Now, God in his mercy towards his church will make this world to be no more a home but it, as it used to be. And you'll find too, if you know anything by divine teaching, that Satan will be your taskmaster. But for the mercy of God, would continue to be so. But there's to be a separation made, and God will make the separation. They came to this condition, didn't they? They looked unto God for deliverance. Such was their hardship, such was their slavery, such was their impossible state that they were in. They couldn't help themselves, they couldn't deliver themselves, they couldn't raise up an army and fight the way out. They had one result, and one result only they could, and they did. They looked to Israel's God, and Israel's God heard their cry and promised to come down and save them. We spoke about conviction this afternoon and a work of grace. Do you know, can you not trace in these similarities, can you not trace the life of God? Was there not a time when you was content with Egypt and the world and the things of it, and it is very attractive? And there's such wonderful things that a person will be attractive to. And they must indeed have them or be involved in them. You see, there'll come a time, you know, when the Lord will put his hand upon it. And it, instead of being a blessing, it will be a curse. And he'll put his hand upon you and I, and he'll make us willing to leave this world of sin and woe. To leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Oh, but then you see, you'll find your need there. If you look at the way he did it, he made the way through the Passover. The shedding of blood. Without shedding of blood, there could have been no deliverance. Dear friends, from the kingdom of Satan, there's no deliverance but through the shedding of blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice made for sin. That's the only way of separation from Satan's kingdom. But then you see, they then found that the way to Canaan was a wilderness. And a wilderness is what it says it is. Absolutely destitute of anything good. But you see, and do you not see, and do you not experience, have you not experienced? The way of the wilderness was the way that the Lord will bring his people to glory. It is now not their rest. It is polluted. And they are brought to know it, brought to experience it, and brought to mourn over it. But there's one or two things about the wilderness journey that Israel walked which corresponds, shall we say, in a measure, with the way of a believer. First of all, it was a way that the Lord will show Israel the way to go. The promise was that the pillar of fire shall be in front of them before them in the night, and a pillar of cloud during the day. And when that moved, they moved. Could you look at your spiritual life? Could you look at your attendance on the means of grace and say, the Lord brought me here, and the cloud stayed, and so did they, and so will you and I. Mysterious, but true, isn't it? And there's another thing, which there is, if I may use, I hope you will forgive me, but there is this similarity in spiritual things as well as with the children of Israel from Goshen to Canaan. He fed them. He fed them. Provided everything for them. Oh, you know, complain, of course they complain. They were a complaining people anyway. Shows the old nature up, doesn't it? But still the Lord sustained them and maintained them in life's journey, in their life's journey through the wilderness to the borders of Canaan. From Goshen they came to the Red Sea, the first obstacle. What were they going to do? The armies of Egypt approaching them, the mountains of the wilderness around them, and the Red Sea in front of them. Have you come to the place of impossibility? You can't go back, and you think you can't go forward. The path is impossible. There's two words, isn't there? In the 14th chapter of the book of the Exodus. Perhaps we read it and then we won't make a mistake in the expression. There was two words which are very important. One word, was spoken by Moses. Stand still. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That's one word. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go, God says. And that's what the children of Israel had to do. There are times, aren't there not, when it seems you don't know what to do. If the Lord's in a matter. I know people will quote from the book of Ruth, sit still, my daughter. A quote from the second book of Chronicles, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The circumstances in these things are different one from another. But when it comes to going to Canaan, when it comes to the believer's walk and pathway to glory, there will be times, of course, when they shall be brought keenly to watch the Lord's hand. What to do? Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. But in this instance, and these instances are part of the experience of the people of God, that obstacle was to be removed, and God only could remove it, that they should go forward. And there was the promise, that as they went forward, so it made a way. So the Lord made a way. But my God shall supply all your need. A way is made. And again, as we said just now, the dependency of Israel upon food. They couldn't plough, sow, and therefore couldn't reap. God sent what they needed. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Heaven. Where does your food come from, child of God? From this vain world of sin and woe? Not so. He can use what he desires to do so. You know, there's some wonderful things that have happened or have been brought to happen because the Lord has used the word. You see, that supply the need. What's maintained your spiritual life? In the first chapter of this epistle, we read the apostle's words, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And the tried, troubled, distressed people of God will learn this lesson time and time again, their complete dependency upon the way in which the Lord will sustain them and especially maintain their spiritual life. You may say, and in a sense you are quite right, the Lord has given the means of grace. The Lord has given the means of grace. And there are, of course, times, you know it as well as I do, when he's pleased to use his own holy word and are strengthened by it. When it is applied with power and authority on your soul, they are strengthened by it and they go on. But there are other means that he uses. The means of chastening is one, but you know, in all these means, it brings you and I, if we are believers in Jesus, to be wholly dependent upon him. Food for our soul. Sometimes the food is comfortable. Sometimes the food is very good to our taste, and it strengthens us. Sometimes it's bitterness. Bitterness. Thou shalt hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you would turn from the right hand to the left. Sometimes the way is bitter, but there's food in it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I said this afternoon that I believe this is a word which God does use in the spiritual as well as in the providential. You know, when you come to need, I do want to say this, that the word that I was going to read this night is one of them I've quoted to you already. But a further psalm was Psalm 9. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. It says in verse 9 of Psalm 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Has the Lord ever given you a word for the future? You know, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, and you see the word that Moses gave to Joshua, it was a word for the time. It was a word for the future. The Lord, I find as I get older, I need to read the word of God so that we don't make mistakes in quoting these things. What he said to Joshua were these words. And the Lord, he it is, that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake. That's the 31st chapter, by the way, I'm sorry. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, I don't know how you feel, but there is a precious word to Joshua, because there was one person that knew Joshua's future path. You know, when Boaz came to the gleaners in the field, he said to them, the Lord be with you. And they said, the Lord bless thee. That was for the present. What the Lord said here was not only for the present, but also for the future. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. There was one person that knew Joshua's future steps. And there's one person that knows your future steps, your spiritual steps. And that's your God, believer. And that's where he can and does wonderfully, by speaking to his people in that way. If you look at the book of Joshua, he reminded Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And further down he said, Hathnah, I command thee, be strong of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's a hymn that I sent a message to a good friend of mine who was amazed at the goodness of the Lord in a matter. I sent this message: why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm, guides the ship. This is the word this day, this 19th verse, that is to the people of God till the day they pass into glory. Like Joshua, we are like Joshua. We do not know what lies in our path. I'm sure you can recall, some of you, a word that it was all of you. I don't know what has to speak. I hope it is all. But you know, I'm sure you can recall some of the words which the Lord has very graciously spoken to your soul. And when those words were given, they were words of encouragement. Haven't you had to use those words? Haven't you had to turn them, as it were, back to him? Sweet words, you know, gracious words. Somebody spoke to me last night at East Peckham, and they said, you know, you must be very tired, you know. And I understand what he meant, and I said, you know, I had this word given me once: thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. It may be that you feel the weariness of the way, but your God isn't weary. And blessed be his name, he will maintain his people right through to the end of the journey. Well, as he made you sick of Egypt, as he made you sick of this world, you know, there's such a lot of attractive things about this world. Never mind about the vileness of men and the wickedness of their ways and so on. That's to be hated. The Lord keep us from such. But you know, there's such a lot of things that would hold you to this world, bind you to it. In the Psalm 116, we find a word that will be of benefit to thee, to the people of God, in preparation for glory. One of the words, I think it is, in the 116th Psalm is this: O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Loose my bonds. You know what that means? He's preparing you for heaven. That's what it means. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then with a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing his power to save. I truly believe, dear friends, child of God especially, that he must loose the bonds that ties you and I to time things. When he does that, you know, he's preparing you for glory. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now that's the channel, and the only channel. You know, that's a blessing. Was a dear old man, I know he's in glory now, but he said this, he was spoken to by the Lord in deep affliction. He doubted everything. Couldn't believe anything of any good or profit to his soul. The Lord brought him back from that place of distress by saying this: because I live, you shall live also. Oh, he does supply the need. You no need to fear, child of God. Oh, raise thy downcast eyes and see. Numbers do his throne surround. They were sinners once like thee, and have free, full salvation found. Well, the time has gone, but my God has supplied all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me just say this, and I hope you receive it. When you come to the afterwards of a tribulation or a trial or a distress, may you remember these words, because it is this precious, glorious God that has brought you through. Amen. accept of our thanks for all the mercy of this anniversary day. Do own and bless thine own precious word. May it be the strength and the comfort of us all as we travel on. Lord, we don't know the tomorrows. Lord, may this word be our strength and our comfort, one that we can turn to thee with and forgive and pardon to all that's been amiss. Lord, thou knowest what that means. Cleanse our services from sin, we pray thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.